Welcome to Permission to Heal. I am Marcy Brockman, and I am so glad you're here. In this podcast, we engage in meaningful, deeply human conversations using our voices to inspire connection, compassion, understanding, empathy, and wholehearted wellness. I want you to find the courage to transform yourself no matter what others tell you. Only you can give yourself permission to trust yourself, permission to take care of yourself, permission to follow your heart and desires, and build a life of love, home, and belonging. Through sharing our stories, we will help each other to heal and create the healthy, meaningful lives we richly deserve. We only need our own permission to begin. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Permission to Heal. I am Marcy Brockman, and I am here today to bring you a very special woman out of South Carolina. Her name is Lanika Nichelle Williams, and she and I met through a professional organization that we both belong to. And she's nice enough to come here and chat with us. I'm very excited to have her. Lanika has this very unique, we call her Shelly, actually, has this very unique nickname called the Bounce Back Queen. And lots of what she has to talk to us about today involve how she got this nickname. I can't wait to hear this story. She is a motivational speaker, a coach, a life cheerleader, a mentor, an upcoming author of a book called The Bounce Back Queen, and a philanthropist. She helps those with struggles overcome challenges while being their biggest cheerleader, and she teaches them how to cheer themselves through life, which is a hugely important skill. A life survivor, Lanika Nichelle, or Shelly, helps people build resilience, find solutions, and shift negative or limiting thoughts. Welcome, Shelly. So good to see you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I am super excited to be here. I'm just, you know, elated with this whole process.
That's awesome. And you have a lot of cool things going on. This mentoring program and a book coming up and a podcast, and you're starting to write articles and get media attention. And I'm so excited for you. It's really awesome.
Thank you so much. I feel like I've done my, you know, like I might not be monetarily rich, but in good deeds, girl, I'm a millionaire, like a billionaire. So I feel like I'm cashing in some of these good deeds now. Like they're finally cashing in, like all of this stuff. And then finally,
that's awesome.
It was worth it. And I didn't do any of it for that. So I've always believed I'm super blessed.
Well, and that's how the karma counts. You know, you're not doing it for being paid back for something. Your soul and your heart are just giving to other people, which is why it's meaningful.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful thing. Okay, so I generally begin the interviews with a few questions to just sort of get the ball rolling. So you ready?
Sure.
Okay. What five words, I just put up 10. What five words would you use to describe yourself?
Strong. Survivor.
Good.
Mom. Fearless and funny.
What a fabulous combination. That's great. Fearless and funny. Awesome. No wonder we get along so well. What is your favorite way to spend a day?
Really, I love being around my kids. It sounds crazy, but...
Why does it sound crazy? You birthed them. That's awesome.
A lot of people be like, get out the house. And I'm, to be honest, I have those days where I'll be like, somebody got to go. Even me or y'all. Somebody got to get out of here. I don't know which one of us. But no, overall, I feel like you can never spend too much time with them. And they're going to be gone. And they're going to, you know, like my oldest son is 22. So
is mine.
Yeah. I look back and think of, you know, like, oh, he's not a baby anymore. So I'm just trying to cherish those times. I love our family game nights. I love our movie nights.
That's awesome.
I love good eats. I'm a great cook. I'm actually teaching them. My oldest son is a very good cook, but I'm teaching the rest of them kind of how to cook because they need some.
That's
some
a good skill to have. How many kids do you have?
I have six total in my home. I have three birth kids. And then I have three live-in bonus babies. I have lots of bonus babies, but I have three live-in bonus babies.
Bonus babies. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget. Bonus babies. Okay. What is your favorite childhood memory?
Let's see.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying.
I wouldn't even know how to answer this myself.
I think just like family time, you know, like that, because I grew up a little different. So those rare times of when, you know, me and my cousins was playing, siblings, you know, outings,
nice. Extended,
you know,
family,
like Thanksgivings, you know, different, just spending that quality family time is the biggest, you know, most positive part of my childhood, besides being exposed to the arts, you know, being exposed to music and, you know, movies and things like that. So those are two things that I think set the tone for me and who I am. And actually watching my grandma be she's the strongest lady I know. Like, she's a tough cookie. Excellent. She even beat COVID. She told COVID to kiss
rock
her
on
ass.
Grandma.
She's with pneumonia.
Wow.
She had pneumonia and COVID, and she was like, you know what, the both of y'all kiss my ass, I'm not done.
Good for her. God bless her. That's fabulous. So she kicked COVID's ass.
Yeah, so I watched her sacrifice and be strong and hardworking, and, you know, I just took those life lessons. I think the life lessons and the quality time with family is the, you know, the best part of my childhood that I can think of.
And I'm sure you're imparting that to your own kids. So
exactly.
That's priceless. Wonderful. What's your favorite meal or one of them?
I love seafood. I'm from Baltimore. Born and raised, we can eat seafood every day, all day. I love shrimp, and actually I had shrimp earlier. I love shrimp and crab legs. I make really good crab balls, and I like to make like a lot of stuff from scratch. That's nice. How my grandmother, you know.
Whole foods, good for the body.
Yeah, so I love seafood. I never really turn down seafood. That's awesome. To be sick.
Now, I was pregnant with my son, who's 22. I could not get enough of Alaskan king crab legs.
Oh my gosh. You want to know something?
I had this crazy craving all the time.
Oh my
gosh. It
was
insane.
My twins, who are 16. So my oldest son is 22. And then my youngest two of the birth ones are 16, just turned 16, boy and girl twins. The only thing, Marcy, when I tell you, first, I couldn't even eat. I passed out on my stomach when I was 4 months pregnant and stayed in the hospital for weeks. Oh, I had to come home with a PICC line. It was so dramatic.
No.
It was so dramatic. And my grandma's been a nurse like for 40 years. So I would tell her, like, please just take me to work with you. She like, girl, you're pregnant. You're not dying. And I'm like, and I'm like, no, I need a rehabilitation center. Like, it was
funny.
The only thing when I could eat, the only thing I could eat was seafood. And to this day, these kids will not. That was such an expensive pregnancy. They love seafood to this day. It's so weird. Oh my gosh, we have that in common. I've never met
anybody. Well, the most ironic thing about that, so you wanted seafood and your kids love seafood. I wanted seafood, and it turns out that my son is highly allergic to seafood. Anaphylactic shock, like he'll die if he eats it.
Oh, wow.
It's the most bizarre thing. I don't know how that happened.
Oh my goodness.
That's so weird. Maybe I ate all that he was supposed to eat while I was pregnant. I ate seafood for two. I don't know.
He said, I don't want any more.
We're done. Okay. What one piece of advice would you give your younger self?
That actually two big things is that you can actually change the world.
Yes.
And that we all have three things in common. Everybody in the world have these three things. One being gifts and talents, the other being challenges, and then the other one being a purpose. Now, nobody can't tell you those things. You have to figure those things out on your own. And sometimes you need help figuring them out. But those are three things that every single one of the beings on the earth have. And if somebody say, oh, I don't have any challenge, then that's your challenge, sweetheart, because we all have them.
Right. Your challenge is to figure out what your challenge is and discover what your talent is. You know, yeah. I mean, they just haven't figured it out yet. Doesn't mean you don't have one.
Yeah. So I teach them to, you know, enhance. And sometimes it's things that you're passionate about. You know, you don't realize. And sometimes it takes people to bring stuff out of you. That's why I say sometimes you need help with yeah. it, but nobody can definitively say, this is this for you. This is this for you. This is, you have to find that out on your own. And I wish I found mine out a lot sooner than I did, but well, better late than never.
And you're still very young. So you're way ahead of the game.
Oh my gosh, girl. My kids tell me I'm so old.
Oh my God. They just have no idea. When my grandmother, I've said this so many times, when my grandmother was almost 90 years old, she said that when she closes her eyes and she puts herself in her body and she just thinks about how old she is, she felt about 25.
Oh, wow.
She was 90 or 89. Wow. And when she would lay in bed, like before she'd move, before she'd open her eyes, she would just imagine that she was 90 years old. And then she'd go and move something. And she was like, oh, I'm not 25 years old anymore. And then she'd look in the bathroom mirror and then she'd realize, who is this old lady? I don't know who this old lady is. So
the power of your mind, though. The
power of your mind. Age is relative anyway.
Yes.
Okay. So what is one thing you would like most to change about the world?
I think that people need to learn that we can learn something from each other. I love a big old melting pot. I grew mm-hmm. up that way, a big old melting pot. My house currently is a big old melting pot. And you know, everybody can learn something from everybody. And once one take themselves out of it, and really try to understand what's going on, I think yeah. the world would be a better place. And people don't help people anymore. That's another thing. I just wish people would help people.
And listen, to actually listen, not listen for the opening for what they want to say next, which I find exactly. way too many people do.
Exactly, exactly.
The world would be a much better place. We'd have tolerance for each other. We wouldn't be as upset or take so personally or so offensively the differences of our opinions.
Yeah, and we'll be able to heal. We'll be able to heal, move past, move forward, you know. I have lots of, you know, theories and things that I, you know, wish me growing up, you know, the way I did it, kind of, that's the good part about it. I got to see a lot of different things. I got to know that your challenges don't define you. You know, they're just challenges. I've never even let my kids say the word can't, because you say, I need help.
Everybody, or I haven't as of yet been yeah. able to. Right. Yeah.
It's okay to need help. We all need help. But to say that you can't, no, we don't say that.
We don't go there. We don't go there. So I'd like you to talk about your coaching and mentoring program and the positive impact that you have on young people. I find that as a teacher, I find that philanthropy work that you do so amazingly interesting.
Well, thank you. Actually, I have a piece of paper in early childhood growth and development. Nice. So I've literally been taking care of kids since I was 10 years old.
Wow.
So, which my little brother, he always jokes and say that he was actually my first child. And I'm like, yeah, I really feel like that at times, but I know what I grew up missing. And my organization is called Positive Inspirations. It's where I mentor, I call them my bonus babies. I have successfully mentored over 100 kids in the past by myself. No funding, no nothing.
Wow.
Over the past 10 years, I have taken in 10 of those kids into my home to keep them out of the system. Me growing up in the system, I was taken away from my mom. So I learned in the fourth grade. Exactly. And when I say the system, it's like
foster care,
DSS, you know, CPS, yeah. you know, it's called different things in different places.
Sure.
So I learned about it in the fourth grade.
It must have been so hard to have a childhood like that.
And I learned that the adults aren't really there for you. as much as they're supposed to be. And from the outside looking in, that's the illusion that it is.
Right.
But, and this is not, you know, to slander or discredit any of the hard workers, because, you know, there are some hard workers, but I can only speak from my experience and the experiences that I've seen with lots of my bonus babies.
Right.
It's not enough of the good ones. I'll say that, you know, and somebody has to advocate for them.
Absolutely.
Somebody has to be like, no, you don't have to go with random strangers. You can come and come stay with me. I didn't even realize at the time what I was doing. It wasn't set to be like, you know what, I'm just going to take on kids. But my antennas, I say, is stronger, you know, entangled, I guess, because of what I've gone through, that I can recognize when a kid needs my help. And if a kid needs my help, or anybody for that matter, and I can do it, I'm going to do it.
You're there. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've always been an active mom. So a lot of kids I meet from going, I'm talking from when my oldest son was in school, I've always been a hands-on mom up to the school, bringing snacks, sitting in the class, you know,
absolutely,
eating lunch. I've always been one of those. So I got to meet and bond and mingle with a lot of kids. And
it's fun.
You know, a lot of them would ask, oh, well, can I come over to your house, or can we go? Or when, you know, when I'm going to go to different places, or, well, what's your grades look like? You know, you making good choices. Let me talk to your mom. You know, let me see this.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a lot that goes into it, but all I want is just to be able to have a child not be able to say that they didn't get the lessons or get taught right from wrong. Even not saying that, you know, the parents didn't, but
yeah. But it's always good to hear it from another trusted adult.
Right. And that a lot of them, I share a lot of stuff that I have went through, so they can see that, hey, you might be having a tough time, or you may have been through this, but there is an other side. And I say, when people say, hey, you know, it's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, sometimes if people say, well, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I say, well, you need to keep walking, because it's
right.
There.
You get stuck inside the tunnel and it's pretty dark in there.
You got
to
keep
somebody
walking,
to meet you in the tunnel and
right.
Out, show you how to get out.
Exactly. Exactly. So you sometimes it's, you know, it's easy. Like I said, it's easy for people to say, oh, it's light there, but you got to get there. So that's where that cheerleading coming in. That life lessons, and they know I don't have a whole bunch of rules. I have two rules: make good choices and don't let my Baltimore come out.
Watch out.
They know, you know, and that includes doing your chores, minding your parents, you know, making good choices. I tell my kids make good choices every day since they've been in school. Since they started, the same thing, because I want that to be instilled in their brains.
When that it is up to them. Their behavior is a choice every single moment of every single day.
Exactly. When they're not with me, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, is they, you know, are they doing this? Or, you know, I feel that I have done what I was supposed to do, and it's up to them now. You know, if they, you know, it's
important to empower them.
Exactly. And I look back, like, some of my babies now that I've had, I've been doing this for over 10 years. So some of my babies now are grown.
Right.
And one, they, you know, they check in on me from time to time, and it just melts my heart. It's one that I had the longest since I've been in South Carolina. I had him from 16 to 19.
Wow.
When I got this kid, he said that he got put out of his mom's house. He showed up. First of all, he was one of the regulars. We call them the regulars. He was one of the regulars that was at my house and, you know, with me anyway. And he showed up to my door with his bags. And I was like, what's going on?
You know, right.
Like, my mom put me out. So I was like, okay, well, you know, calm down. What happened? You know, trying to get the logistics of all what happened.
Sure.
I'm like, it's fine. And when I talked to his mom, she was like, oh, well, I knew he was going to go to your house. And I'm like, well, somebody should have called me, because.
Right. Make sure it was okay. Make sure you're home.
After two of you knew and I didn't know, you know, but I look back at this kid, he had in his mind, he was just hurt. He was like, I'm not going to finish school. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to. I said, look, stop that talk. I said, you got two choices.
Yeah.
Either you want to walk across the stage Well, your graduation picture is going to look mighty funny with me dragging you across the stage.
One way or another, it's happening.
You are going. You stop all this talk about you're not finishing school and not all that. Get yourself together. And I started, you know, just loving on him, but keeping him in line.
Yeah.
And I look at this kid today and, you know, he's such an awesome kid and he'll come. And we had to tell people that I was his godmother, because here people will be like, are you his mom? No. Are you his aunt? No. Are you, you know, his cousin? No. So they're like, well, what are
people
you?
People need
so
labels. They need to be able to make sense out of things.
Oh, gosh, it's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, so he's my godson now. You know, I feel like I said godson. I do have, you know, actual godchildren, you know, that people have picked out and said, you know, hey, I want you to be, you know, my kid's godmother.
Well, this was just divinely picked. That's all.
Yeah. And that's why I said God wanted me to step in. And I was so proud of him when he graduated and he gave me his cap and gown. I said, yeah, aww. I earned it. I think I earned it. So
I earned it, not you. Right.
So I'm very proud of him. And I have another kid that just like 2 days ago, he was having trouble in school. He learned very early about me coming, popping up in your class. See, that's the secret sauce. If your kids don't never know when you're coming up to their school, they're less likely to misbehave because, you know, they don't want you to catch them.
So, no, definitely not.
Exactly. So I would come up to his school and, you know, have a talk with his teacher and was like, if he has any more trouble, please, you know, and his mom like, please, yes, like call her. It's crazy. I have kids that the school will call me for
before the parents
and not the parents. It is unbelievable, but it's so worth it. That kid I was just talking about, he's grown now, you know, in college. He's so successful. He was homecoming king. He shot up like a rocket. And he just
needed nurturing and love and to feel safe.
And it got to the point he knew my phone number and not his grandma's. I said, how do you not know your grandma? Because one time they got locked out the house or something. I'm like, how do you not know your grandma's number? I'm like, Shad, what's my number? And he just said, I'm like, yeah, you need to learn your grandmother's too. You know, like, you don't need to always just know me. I know I'll always be there for you guys. But, you know, to try to balance out with family.
Sure.
Too. And one of my youngest babies, but my baby, he's six, one of my bonus babies. I'm so proud of this kid. When I tell you call the school, last year, I have not had the school call me for another kid except for this one.
Okay.
They was calling me so much, Marcy, that it was like, boy, if I come up here one more time again, like, you're going to be mad at yourself. But you know what? This year, he has straight A's.
Excellent.
He has straight A's. He's
kids just develop at different rates. And
all the questions in his class, he is so proud. He can't wait. He calls me auntie. So he tells his mom, call auntie, tell her what I got, you know.
Like, that's wonderful.
They all call me different things, you know. This, I kind of just let them be free. I've been called the neighborhood mom. I've been, you know, they all call me kind of different things. Some of them say mama and their moms know. And I'm like, you know, I have to tell them, like, I'm not trying to be their mom.
Just, sure.
You know, they're like, it's okay. Some of them call me auntie. So
do you give the moms themselves parenting advice or about
the ones who
motivate them and
accept it? Some of them don't accept it. And I don't go in to it. It's weird because most of the moms I only know from being their moms. I had the relationship with the kids
before the mothers,
before I even met the moms. So, you know, it can be weird sometimes to be like, well, who is Michelle that you keep talking about? I got her, you know, right. Meager. And then some people are, you know, welcoming, and then some people not so much, but that don't take away from me still being there. You know, I don't have to build a relationship with the parent. I just want to protect the child because I've been a child not protected. And I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, protect these babies.
Yeah, it's hard to grow up and not feel safe and not feel that like your insides and the things that you want match the outside circumstances. And then you learn to distrust other people and you distrust yourself, and that there's no way to grow up that way and feel like you're on solid ground.
Exactly. Like you have a voice, you know, like you're almost like you're invisible at times, you know, like nobody sees me unless I'm in trouble, you know, like.
Right. And then you've got kids doing negative behaviors just to get that attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the thing people don't understand. They're be so quick to label a kid. And I'm like, first of all, angry, you know, that's not, nobody's just born angry. That's not like one of those.
No, their needs are just not being met.
Yeah. Those are not one of those first typical emotions that you just be like, you know what? I'm going to be angry today. I'm going to go to school and be bad today. I don't believe a kid thinks that. No. Sometimes I've seen some kids are struggling with the work. So they don't want.
They don't want to try. They feel defeated.
Yeah, they're gonna,
I call it frustration tolerance. That's my word.
Okay. That's a good one.
You know, they can't just sort of muster through something that's difficult and keep trying and trying and trying until they finally get it. They get to a point where they're just fatigued and they just give up. They're the frustrations beyond their ability to tolerate.
Exactly. And sometimes people don't even realize it, you know, and they don't know how to tell you, or they are ashamed to be like, hey, I don't understand this. I can't keep up with what's going on. So they're just going to disturb the whole class.
Yeah, you know, I've been a teacher for 25 years and I've seen many a child do that. Mm-hmm. More often than not, they just retreat into themselves and they are just quiet when they don't know the answer, or they feel like some sort of shame because they're comparing themselves to everybody else and they think that everyone else knows and they don't, which is usually not the case.
More times than not,
I would say, especially in the last 10 years, I have more kids that just retreat into themselves and they're quiet rather than the whole class clown thing. When I first started teaching 26 years ago, there were a lot more class clown issues where people would just goof off. I remember there was one time I started teaching in 1995 and I was teaching seventh grade and most kids didn't have cell phones. You know, I only had a flip phone as it was myself. You know, Apple hadn't come out with the smartphone thing yet. And I thought I was being so smart by having my cell phone in class. And when a kid would act up, I would call home right then and there, or bother their parent at work right then and there in the middle of class. And a few times that I did it, it worked out really well. The kid was like, oh my God, you're calling my dad at work. I'm in so much trouble. Well, maybe you shouldn't have chosen that behavior.
Exactly.
But then I had this one, I don't know why I'm telling this story in a podcast, but I'm already here. I've committed. So I call this guy, I get him on the phone and he's at work. And I said, I'm sorry to bother you in the middle of the day, but your son, I don't know what his name was, Paul, was doing X, Y, and Z in class. And I just thought that you should know because this is very inappropriate behavior, da, 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 whatever. And the dad was just like, yeah, and? I'm like, what do you mean, yeah, and? I would just like your support so that he knows that this isn't appropriate to do in a classroom. And he's like, oh, boys will be boys. Forget it. You're being a jerk. And the father told me off right there in the middle of class.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, now it explains why the kid's giving me a hard time.
Mm-hmm. That's that enabling behavior. And that's one of the things that I tell my kid, all of my kids, you guys are growing up to be adults. I want you to have your childhood, but I'm not going to enable you. And oftentimes when you see grown people who make bad choices, that's because they wasn't taught.
Right, exactly.
To make good choices. So that's just taught behavior that they have carried on to until their adult life. And then you wonder why, you know, what happened, you know, a lot has happened, you know, once you peel off the layers, you'd be like, wow, now it all makes sense. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I tell them that, because I want you to learn as kids life lessons that I didn't learn. I tell them, you are going to make mistakes. We all do.
Sure.
I am not perfect. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
They should learn from their mistakes and be aware of the consequences that come from them.
Exactly. And oftentimes if you hear stuff and people tell you, make you aware, you know, like inform you of certain things that they'd be like, I had no idea that it was going to be like that. You know, well, you can't say that because I told you X, Y, Z.
You know? Well, and now you know firsthand experiences, you're certainly not going to do that again.
Yeah. Because some kids are, you know, you can just tell them and that's it. But some kids, they want to touch the stove. You know, they, how hot is it? Let me see. Is it truly hot?
My son would take my word for it that the stove was hot and we shouldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. My daughter would be like, hand on the burner. Oh, yeah. You said it was hot. It's hot. She was the experiential learner. She was the one who had to, she was just in it. My son's always been more analytical and he could take a look at it and sort of make his decision about it from over here. My daughter was in it. You got to know your audience, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
It's our job to make sure that they have the tools to navigate and problem solve and critically think and make decisions. And I always, and I'm sure you're the same way, when the kids would have a problem, we talk out, okay, so what options do we have to fix it? How do we learn from this? How do we keep this from happening again? Or how do we get out of this now? Or at least take responsibility for it, not get out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. How do we get out of the tunnel of this trouble? And then they would have to go into the school the next day or, you know, to scouts or to dance or to their friends or whoever the problem was with and figure out how to navigate that themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was always there as backup, you know, if you can't do it, or if you find a brick wall or the person isn't receptive, you know, let me know and I'll step in. But otherwise, I can even count on one hand how many times I wound up having to step in because they problem solved and were able to solve it on their own.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That is, you know, I'm not sure if just because you're a teacher, but you know, that.
Well, that and 30 years of therapy, you know.
That is something that, you know, I love that you understand that. Yeah. Also that, you know, kids learn. Every kid learns a different way. Right. And it can be overwhelming for a teacher to try to figure out which way who learns which way. But at the same time, it's our job to make sure that they get it.
And exactly.
Some of us, you know, put a little more into trying to figure that out and mold them. You know, it's about molding them. I'm not just here just to teach you this. I want you to leave here feeling like, oh, I love her. I love going to her class. I love,
right.
You know, I feel safe. That's the
yeah. Going to school in a COVID pandemic, notwithstanding, you know.
Yeah. And I'm granted, I was only, you know, preschool, you know, so
I taught preschool for half a year and I wanted to go run screaming into the night. Yeah. So that's a whole different skill set of patience that I was not born
with. I love the babies. I love the babies. You know, got to teach them, use your words. I just love to teach them because, you know, the first 5 years is the most important years. So I felt like if I can have my part, and just have my part in building that foundation for school and for life, then, you know, I can look back and be like, you know what? I helped you in some sort of way. You know, that melts my heart.
Absolutely.
So that's why I took on the, if I can get to them early, you know, let me get to them early, because sometimes you be like, oh, so you know everything. Some, you know, the older ones, sometimes you got to let them fall on their tail. They'll be like, oh, I had told you that same thing. Somebody had told you. Oh, is that what I had said was going to happen? Oh, now you know.
They need to learn. They need to learn. Okay, so can you tell us why they call you the bounce back queen?
Sure. Okay, so the bounce back queen came from just life experiences. I have been from everything from, you know, as I mentioned, taken away from my mom to sexually assaulted. I've been a teen mom. You know, I was sexually assaulted my first time. And
oh, no.
I was blind at 15 and for a month.
For a month?
Yeah. My cousin sprayed off in my eyes. I love her.
Bug spray?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I love her, but she's younger than me, and you know, we was kids, and you know, as kids, sometimes you just do stuff.
Sure.
So, not most recently, but a couple years ago, I had brain surgery 2 years ago.
Shelly.
And the pandemic, I was put out for 1 month of rent while I was on quarantine by my doctor. And people always say, you know, I get when things happen, people will always check on me and be like, especially with me being in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And most of my family is back home. So, you know, people just can't run to me. But right. Through the years, people would always say different variations of, oh, you'll be okay. You're so strong. You're the strongest person I know. You know, you'll bounce back. You know, you bounce back from everything. You know, I don't know how you keep them. Why are you calm? How are you calm? Like when we got put out, that's what people was like, you are really calm to me. I'm like, man, God got me. This is not the worst thing I've been through. I've been preparing.
I don't think I'd be that calm, Shelly.
My whole life. I didn't want my kids to, I didn't want they, you know, they feed off energy.
Absolutely. And if you panic, they panic.
I really have some tough buggers at times, sometimes too tough, but I'm like, you know, it's okay. This happened for whatever reason it was going to happen. And, you know, I realize now they just wanted us in the lease because they wouldn't even accept the money. They could have accepted the money the day of. It was real crazy. But when we was leaving, you know, we lost a lot of stuff because we literally had 24 hours.
Wow. To pack and get out.
Pack up and move. And
you were so quarantining in the middle of this?
And when I went, doctor's note and everything. It was just a mess. It was this South Carolina is a strange place. That's why I'm leaving. Two of my bonus babies I'm adopting. Well, I'm actually going to adopt all three of them, but I already petitioned the court for two. So I'm waiting to go to court. And that's the reason why we're still here.
Okay.
And I've been petitioned to court in January. So in February, when my lease was up, I didn't renew my lease because I didn't know
COVID
was going to be COVID. And right. I didn't realize I still wouldn't be going to court yet, you know, for them because of COVID.
Right.
I thought we would be long gone out of South Carolina. I had no idea I would still be here, or else I would have signed, you know, a new lease.
Right.
But that was the whole thing, because 2 weeks later, they had somebody in the house. And I alerted them. They knew about what was going on, everything. It's not like they didn't know.
Sure.
It's just, I'll tell you, this is a weird place. This is a very weird place. And I'm not from here. And they're kind of funny about us outsiders. So, you know, it's just, I mean, it is what it is. God didn't want me to keep giving my money to those people. So
that's a good way of looking at it, you know?
We stayed in a hotel for 2 weeks, two and a half weeks. And on our way to the first night in the hotel, and typical what we do, that's the other thing I meant to tell you. A lot of what I do with my kids is service work. My bonus babies, we go to nursing homes. We feed the homeless. We made pandemic bags. Sometimes we will go to a Walmart and help sit and watch elderly, what we call them mature. We don't say old, mature or disabled people, and help them put their stuff in their cars and put their carts back for them.
Wow.
I want to teach them that service
is the way forward.
Is the way you got to put, you get what you put out in this world.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you get stuff just to make you stronger, but oftentimes you get what you put out. So if you put good into the world, good will come back to you.
Absolutely. So I'm a firm believer in that universal karma thing.
There's a lot of things that I teach them. So on the way to the hotel, once we was finished, we saw a man. And this is one of our man that we normally buy him like a hot chocolate when it's cold and a meal. So I was so tired, didn't want to, you know, stop. So I just gave him money this day. I was like, here's his money. The kids in the car laughing. They was like, we're literally home. Homeless and you still feeding the homeless. And I was like, we just all cracked. That was like, y'all be quiet. You know, like, I didn't even think about
that. A good heart is always going to find somebody else who's a little less well off. You know,
that's the point of service. When you get in your own funk and then you go do something for somebody.
Right.
I tell people in a minute, you are not the great victim. it's always somebody that got something worse than you.
Absolutely.
Worse than you. And if you get outside yourself and go help people, that will make you feel better about
absolutely.
Your own self.
Absolutely. It'll reduce stress. It makes you feel connected to other people. Takes you, like you said, out of your own head. So you're not stuck in your own little pinwheel of problems. You're actually putting good out into the world.
Exactly. So that's how I got that, because people started saying, you know, you could bounce back. So I'm like, you know, I'm the bounce back queen, I guess, apparently, since you guys.
Based on this story, Shelley, and I'm sure this was the short end of the story. Absolutely. You are the bounce back queen. Wow. And so you're turning this into a podcast as well.
Yes, I'm turning this into a podcast because I've been told by many people, like, you need a podcast. Please go and go. You know, just be you. And it's kind of like a variety of things. It's fun. It's going to be uplifting. I'm going to talk some about current events. I'm going to have guests sometimes. I'm going to, you know, it's just going to be fun, like a variety of different things. I don't want to stick straight to this, you know, like a box. I want it to be, you know, universal, because it's a lot of layers to me. So it's going to be a lot of layers to my podcast.
Excellent. It sounds like a must not miss podcast. That's very cool. And you're in development for a book too?
Yes.
Playing What the Hand One's Dealt.
Yes. I believe that life is not so much about what happened to us, but how we react and respond to it. So I would say you got to learn how to play your hands. Some people get better hands than you, but whatever your hand is, you got to learn to play it and got to learn to play it to the best of your ability so that you can enhance and get all your goals and things that you want to do out of life. So I named it that, and all it's kind of just in detail of all of my challenges and things that has happened and growing up and things that I've overcome. So, you know, it's actually a disclaimer in the beginning that says this is not to expose or bring down or anybody. I want to inspire and empower people and know that you can go through hell sometimes and be like, you know what? Whew, that was rough, but
I survived that. I'm good. Right.
I made it. So that is the whole point of that. I want people to know that you can literally have everything stacked up against you sometimes. And you be like, nobody's going to help me. But it's okay. You got to learn to look at yourself, help yourself, love yourself, figure things out for yourself. And yeah. Put good into the world and you're always going to be taken care of.
Right. And the one person who's in charge of change, of development, of growth, of happiness, of finding meaning, figuring out what your talents and challenges are is yourself. I had spent most of my life looking for all those things outside myself because I didn't trust my ability or my worthiness to have any of those things or to go get any of those things for myself. I kept looking outside of myself for all of that. And then enough therapy and enough writing and enough talking to people and enough really introspective thinking. Mm-hmm. And I figured out that, of course, I was well over 40 when I figured it out, but at least I figured it out.
Look,
I figured
out that better late than never.
Right. That the person in charge of all of that for me is me. And that I don't need anybody else's permission. This is why this podcast is called Permission to Heal, because my book is Permission to Land, because
it
took me a long time to figure out that I didn't need anybody else's permission. And what you're doing for all of these kids and what you'll be doing through the book and what you're doing through the podcast is giving people, empowering them to take charge of their own lives. And I can't think of anything more beautiful than that.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do appreciate that. That means a lot. It really does. Like you are one of those, you know, like-minded people stick together.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell that whole story in my book. You know, I grew up and my mom was undiagnosed bipolar who self-medicated with medication, with drugs, wound up being an opiate addict. She was quite narcissistic, and growing up as her daughter was hell on wheels. You know, I never knew from one hour to the next whether she was going to be Cruella de Vil or Mary Poppins. And as a kid, those are the characters I related to because I was a kid, you know, and it was difficult, you know, like you said, not as difficult as some and better than others, you know.
I'm finding out we have more and more in common. Now, my mom I can't prove that she's been diagnosed with her being bipolar, but the lady's bipolar. Yeah. And growing up, I did not understand what was wrong with my mom. You know,
You don't have the language. You don't know.
I grew up in the hood. So, you know, we've seen parents, you know, be strung out. We've seen parents be drunk. We've seen parents be streetwalkers. And then you had the good parents, you know. So
right.
As a kid, this is going to sound a little weird. I wished my mom was on drugs or something. I used to wish that as a kid so that I could say, okay, well, this is why she acts like that.
Right. You wanted an explanation.
I just thought she hated me. She just don't like me because she was different with me than my little brothers. My little brothers didn't endure what I endured.
Sure.
So I'm like, what is it that I'm doing? You know, I just wanted to have an excuse, like a reasoning to try to figure it out. Like,
yeah, because you were being gaslit and it was all emotional, emotional entanglement and emotional abuse. And there's, I think in some respects, nothing worse than that, because not that I'm diminishing people mm-hmm. who are physically abused or anything like that, because I certainly would never. But when there's no physical evidence, the victim feels like they're batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. You don't realize what's going on, and you just don't trust anything because what you're feeling is completely at a mismatch from what's going on outside you. And you don't know what the hell's happening. And exactly. The people that are supposed to love and trust and love and keep you safe are the people who are the most dangerous. So, yeah.
Very, very true. And when I left, I was 12 and I had bruised ribs. And I will tell you, it's nothing, which I talk about in my book, it's certain things. And let me say this. If nobody knew, you would not know that me and my mom went through that. You would not know. I've done that healing for myself, for my kids,
Wonderful.
I don't want to put that in, you know, in the atmosphere. I don't hold on to that. Right. So
you're stopping the intergenerationality of all of that mental illness.
Nobody would know if I didn't tell you. And actually, that's a lot of things that people don't know. And they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I've known you for years. I had no idea that this happened, you know, but that's why I say it's not too exposed. I feel like now more than ever, we need to know that we can bounce back. We can bounce back from anything. It is, you know, we just got to stick together and make good choices and shift our minds and get out of our minds sometimes.
Absolutely. You know? We need to be resilient and help each other.
Exactly. And those that are not, we have to teach those behaviors to the ones who don't know, because a lot of it is that they don't know because nobody's ever told them or showed them. So that's where I come in, and I try to teach them.
Well, that's wonderful.
And help them, you know, as best I can with that. But being 12 and having, you know, marks and bruises and bruised ribs, and you know, it was just a lot. It was a lot. And I came out, I turned out, you know,
turned out great.
I never did drugs. I finished school. I went to college. I did everything everybody else did. I've been working since I was 12.
Wow.
You know, I don't want to let my pain make me ugly. Nothing is going to change me from who I am. And I think I came close to that when I was blind. I was blind, I came close to that. And God showed me that, girl, no, he came and showed me like,
sure.
I always said my angel, because I had an angel come, and my grandmom, who's still living, tough as nails. She's the only one who can verify she saw this man at my weekly appointments come in. I don't know who he was. Like, when he left out, my regular doctor, which was a woman, came in. Like, you couldn't even get to three. It was like one, two, and then she came in. So they should have crossed each other. And I'm in there like, well, what happened was he told me sit in a chair. You know, I was already sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
He told me to ask me what happened. Marcy, when I tell you that was the question that I hated, I don't even say the word hate. I was so hatred on every time somebody say, well, what happened? Look at
you
my
get
show.
Tired of explaining
I'm
it.
I keep telling y'all I keep saying what happened to me. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I was so ugly then. I was so not like me. And I questioned God and I was like, really? What did I do to you? You're going to let all this happen. I have a kid. My kid's going to grow up with a blind mother. I was just so like angry.
It's easy to be despairing. So how did you pull yourself out of that?
Well, I questioned him. And when I went for my appointment, which I didn't even want to go to this day, and I'm glad that my grandmom is tough as nails. And she's like, you're gone. And because in my mind, people could just see, and everybody was looking at me saying, look at that blind girl. Look at that blind girl over there. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. That's what was in my mind. Nobody probably was paying me any attention, but that's the thought that I had. I didn't want to wear the glasses. I was like, I'm not wearing them. I'm telling you, Marcy, I was so ugly. It was ugly. And when I went, my grandma forced me to go, and I didn't even want to do the exercises with the lady, with the nurse beforehand. So then she just put me in the room with my grandma. Was like, I can see you're agitated today. I'm just going to put you in the room.
Right.
And that's when the man came in. Now, prior 2 weeks before that, I had a woman. I always knew her voice. And this particular time, a man came in and he asked me what happened. And I was like, sir, I do not want to tell you what happened. Can you not look at my chart? And then he was like, well, you know, just calm down. Talk to me. Tell me what happened. So my head is like in a little chin rest, and he's pouring stuff in my eyes, dropping stuff in my eyes. And the same way that my vision went from blurry to black, because I woke up and it was just black. It went from black to blurry, and I blank, and clear. And oh my gosh, I can see. I hopped down. I was hugging him. I was like, thank you. Oh my God, I can see. I was like, Gramsci, wow. I can see. I saw my grandma, Gramsci. I'm like, Gramsci, I can see. She's like, thank God, you know, bro, they're praying. And I'm like, I can see you. I can see you. He was like, okay, you know, you're welcome. Leaves right out. So the lady comes right in. So she was like, well, what's going on? I'm like, I can see you. And, you know, she was like, okay, calm down.
Did she know who that guy was?
She said, tell me what happened. I said, the man who was just in here. I said, the doctor, he fixed my eyes. I said, I don't know what he put in it, but I could see. And she was like, well, we don't have any men, doctor. And I said, well, maybe he was a nurse.
Look, oh my
I thought
God.
He was a doctor because he had on a white coat. So I said, well, maybe he was a nurse. You know, the nurse that comes. She took my hand and gave me this feeling that I will never, ever forget in my life. And she took this hand, looked me dead in my eyes and said, Lanika, we don't have any men that work here at all. And my grandma was over here. I just kind of turned and looked at my grandma. I was like,
and your grandmother saw him.
Yeah, she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, you know what?
I'm not crazy.
I don't know. We're not going to explore
that. We're going to take that on face value.
I was like, I'm going to take this. I went to the front. We was like, please take me off, because I had a weekly appointment. I was like, please take me off. I will not be back next week. I can see, you know, I was so happy. I went to go get something to eat. I got to walk and see everybody. It just gave me a new outlook. And from there on, I never, ever questioned God, and I never, ever let things make me be who I know I'm not supposed to be.
Sure.
Now, yes, I get it. I can get, you know.
You can get all Detroit on that. Baltimore, sorry.
Baltimore. I get all, I don't want the Baltimore to come out. But you know, to be that ugly that I was. I'm never
going You're not
to
like, be that. Like that. No, man. You were just and stuck in the tunnel.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that kind of molded me to things that, you know, that's why I said I've been through a lot of junk, but I'm glad I've been through it. I'm so happy I went through these things because even with my mom, I had to go through that in order to, you know, be more receptive to when babies need me.
Absolutely.
I probably wouldn't pay them any attention, you know, beforehand, not being able to recognize it. So I understand everything had a purpose and I had to go through that in order to, you know, like even me moving to South Carolina, it's crazy. My grandmom retired and moved here. And a year after she was here, I moved 3 minutes away from her. She got sick before I did with neuromyelitis, and she's been back in Baltimore for like 4 or 5 years now. So I couldn't for the life of me, like, why am I still here? Why did you still let me be here?
But well, then probably so that you could help the children that you helped.
That is exactly why. I'm like, you know what, Shelly, be quiet. Babies needed you. These kids need you. That's why you're here.
That's why you're okay. Here. You'll move back when it's ready.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, we're definitely getting out of this place.
Okay, so when can we expect the podcast to start for those of us who are interested in the Bounce Back Queens podcast?
On December 8th, I'm going to be launching. Right now, I'm going to stick with Tuesdays.
Okay.
And on my website, it's...
Which is thebouncebackqueen.com.
Yes, thebouncebackqueen.com. People can reach out to me if they need help. I will be also, you know, just keeping everybody informed of podcast when the book's coming out and, you know,
do we have a publication date yet or it's still too far away?
No, I don't have the book. I actually had to push the book back before. So this, I'm trying to stick now. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. I just wrote a book. Know. So, yeah. <You know.
laughs> So I just don't want to, have a date and push it back anymore.
All right. So some point in the future, there'll be the book playing the hand one's dealt.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Shelly, this has been fabulous. I think we could talk for hours. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate this.
The support is just, it's wonderful. I'm an absolute firm believer that through sharing our stories and sharing our experiences, it makes us feel less alone and it makes us feel like we're heard and it gives us communion and community with other people. And it is my reason for being. It's fabulous.
It's a good reason. I said, we're going to light up the world with love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Permission to Heal. I hope you found it moving and inspirational. Please remember, you don't need anyone else's permission to trust and follow your heart. You have the power within you. Subscribe to Permission to Heal so you don't miss any new episodes, and please share this with your friends.